Caution, the Mark Unger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience. And besides that, he's really weird. Welcome to the Mark Unger Show with international marriage speaker and author of Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage, Mark Unger. This is your source for practical, down-to-earth marriage advice without all the over-spiritualization or romantic nonsense. And now the host of the Mark Unger Show, Mark Unger.
Delirious joy. They've joined the Mark Unger Show, the show that deals with all things concerning
marriage.
Indeed. I'm your host, the one, the only Mark Unger. Joining me as always, the ever lovely and charming Diane Brierley, and of course, the amazing Philip James Unger. Engineering the show as always, the very talented but eerily creepy Timothy Robert Ray, pushing buttons, twisting knobs, and trying to stay awake during this incomprehensibly, immeasurably boring show. This is the show that handles your marital challenges, relational conundrums, and dating dilemmas that you can email to us at ask@markgunger.com. What have you got there today, sunshine?
A company ain't no sunshine where she's gone.
I'm sorry, that just came over me.
You were just verklempt.
I wasn't verklempt. So Phil.
He asked me what I have today, and then he goes on his tear anyway. Just thanks.
So we're up north.
Yeah.
What a gaggle of people.
Yes.
Doing snowmobiling. Right. And of course, this monkey's with us, all right?
Sure. She wouldn't miss a snowmobiling trip.
She would not. She likes it.
It's very fun.
So there's how many, 10 of us, 15 of us up there?
Yeah.
Anyway, so she shows up a little bit late. She comes from a wedding. So she comes in, and she's outside, and she's got this little, you know, sexy little dress on.
Okay, I have to clarify.
It's a sexy little dress. She's all dressed up. It's like a mini skirt.
I was mortified. It was to my knee. It's like every time you tell this story, you act like I'm in something
shorter.
That's barely covering me. It was long sleeved, up here, down to the knee.
No. This little dress on and what do you call those
fishnet stockings,
but then big galoshes. And in the snow, she's probably, I says, you look like an Eskimo hooker. And then one of our guys with us, Darren, he goes, that'd make her an Eskaho. So all week long, we said she looked like an Eskaho. Not that she was an Eskaho.
Are you glad you went?
Yeah, I was.
She loves the validation.
Yeah.
Yes. So anyway.
He did clarify that I was not an Eskaho.
Not an Eskaho.
She merely
resembled one for a moment in her fishnet stockings in the snow and her galoshes. Which I thought was very funny.
Standard wear for a wedding in
Wisconsin. I had to haul everything in through the snow, so therefore I had to lose the high heels and then put something more sensible on.
Did you know today's Blue Monday?
We're
recording the show today.
What does that mean?
Ahead of time, as always. That means it's like the most depressing Monday of the year.
Why?
I don't know. I think it's a British thing, actually. But it's called Blue Monday.
I never heard that.
So if you're really depressed today, you know why.
I've never heard it.
All right.
Okay. Any Monday that I'm in around you is a Blue Monday, let me tell you.
What do you got, dude?
Okay. A company in Seattle called Swan Love will give you a loan for your wedding of up to $10,000, and you don't have to pay it back unless you get divorced. Then you owe them the money plus interest.
Well, that's really cool. Who's funding that?
The CEO of Swan Love says they ran the numbers and that they can be profitable with this model. He says it comes back to statistics. We have the right odds, so we'll be okay. But he thinks the odds aren't too crazy, so people will still bite. When you apply, they evaluate how strong of a couple you are. Then they base the amount of the loan and your interest rate off of that. There will also be clauses
like... only if you have to pay it back.
Then you have to pay it back with interest. There will also be clauses like if the marriage ends because of abuse, the abuser has to pay the full amount. Or I suppose a cheater or whatever, I would hope that they would have that in there.
Uh-huh.
And they ask the question, would you bet on your marriage?
That's hilarious.
I think it's actually
brilliant. I think it's a great idea. I think every state should do that by law.
We'll fund you the money.
We'll fund you the money for your wedding. And if you end up divorced, you got to pay it back with interest. Mm-hmm. That'd be awesome. Mm-hmm. It'll make a lot of people stop. These people, however, will lose money. Do you know why? They are going off of a very flawed statistics that say virtually 50% of every marriage ends in divorce. And that is not true. Mm-hmm. You know, it's actually much more, particularly for first-time marriages. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Is it a first-time marriage, or can remarried people do this as well?
I didn't say in the article.
If it's remarried people, then they may get their money back, because that's why the divorce rate is so high, because mm-hmm. you have multiple offenders that keep climbing back into the pool. These are the people, they just have a hard time with relationships, you know, one or two or whatever, and they don't know how to do it.
So why they're saying the statistics make sense.
I guess from that. So I'm thinking they were thinking first-time marriage. If they limited this to first-time marriages,
They'd lose money.
Because first-time marriages actually have a very low divorce rate.
Well, maybe they've looked into those statistics, and if you're a first-time, if you're this, that maybe your interest rate is different, and maybe they're playing the odds with that.
That would be interesting, because obviously the story doesn't tell us all the details here. But if they made a first-time marriages, and what's sad is people today literally are not getting married because they keep hearing the other statistics. Mm-hmm. And if you keep telling a lie long enough, everybody starts to believe it. And
if we have a 50% chance of divorce, I don't want to take that chance.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And it's just not true. Certainly not for first time.
But you know what's so interesting?
I don't even think it's true even when you add in the other things. I still think it's lower than what they say. The 50% is an exaggerated number.
But. Here's the interesting thing about these numbers. The people who have never been married and they're so fearful, oh, it's a 50% divorce rate. I don't want that to happen to me. And then they back out of the marriage deal. And then there's the second and third timers who, you know what, it's somewhere between 75 and 85% rate. And they'll just walk off the end of that pier and think, oh, those statistics don't apply to me. Isn't that odd?
Yes.
That, you know, when you have an even higher percent. And that's pretty certain. You're absolutely right.
People who most likely will have very low divorce rates are convinced it'll be extremely high.
Yeah.
The ones who are virtually guaranteed to be extremely high think, what happened to me?
I had to get married. You know, it's like, I'm going to win the lottery.
I can do it again. I won't have a problem.
Exactly.
My fifth time around, I know it'll work this time. Oh, my goodness. That's absolutely brilliant. Simply brilliant. And that's why she makes the big money around here, ladies and gentlemen.
That's the show.
That's a wrap. We're done. Thank you. God bless you all. Thanks for watching the show today. One coherent statement. That's quite brilliant, actually. But there's a lot of challenges now because of people. It's already, even our church, it's affecting me. I think churches in general. We're in a situation where marriage is getting a tough thing to define. I'm just talking, even not same-sex, but for just husbands and wives, because so many people today are just in flat out living with each other.
Mm-hmm.
But they are, for all practical purposes, married. You know, now in some states they have common law. Mm-hmm. In Wisconsin, you do not. Some states don't. But they almost have to start going back to common law because you have people who are just flat out living together. They've been with each other, nobody else, for 15, 20, 25 mm-hmm. years. And for the church to turn around and say, well, you're not married and we're not going to accept you because of your status, I think we just have to relook. I mean, the reality is if you've been faithful with one person, there is a common law thing that has been. The reason it's called common law, mm-hmm. because it's been virtually accepted, you know, throughout the world, that if you're going to live this long with someone at some point,
that's marriage.
We now consider you married. So it's all getting jacked up. And the ability of the state to ratify, we used to lean on that, to ratify what is in fact is not marriage. And because now you can marry a chicken and it doesn't matter, you know, they've all. So the state of what is considered in the church marriage and is not marriage, we don't lean on the state very much anymore because it's just.
Because they've.
It's a whole different ball game. It's really gotten jacked up, but we'll figure it out as we go along. Anyway, okay, enough of that. We'll be back with your emails right after this break.
Mark Gunger. Yeah, we've got an app for that. Download your free Mark Gunger app today.
Hi, Mark Gunger here, talking to you about our T1 program that we have here at our church, at Celebration Church in Green Bay, Wisconsin. It is a transition year program for young people before they go off to college. Here's the situation we have today. young Christian kids. Forget about what the secular world does for a minute. I'm talking about the Christian people, devout Christian people. They want the best for their kids. They want to honor God in their lives. The kids go through high school. The second they get out of high school, whoosh, they shove them off into college, and they never slow down. And then they're off to their careers and stuff like that. The statistics for that are very, very bad. They say, I don't know who studies this stupid stuff, but they'll say as high as 80% of the Christian kids in evangelical churches give up on their faith about 2 years into their college experience. It's an unmitigated disaster. We're all trying to figure out programs and stuff like that. How do we fix it? But here's one of the best ways we can fix it. Slow down. Slow down. You don't need to go running off to college as soon as you get out of high school. We encourage these kids to take a one-year gap program. Now, there's several of them around the country. We have one here in Green Bay. We hope that you'll consider ours. You can go to T1. Is that just the letter
Transition1.org.
Transition1.org. We call it T1. So it's transition1.org. Look at our one-year program. What it is instead of running off to college right away, they come and take 1 year, and they come to this program. Now, it's not a Bible school, but we do teach from the scriptures, try to build character, but we show them how to do life, how to make decisions, how to be leaders, how to handle money, something you would think people used to learn. They used to learn this stuff in high school. They don't learn it anymore. They don't learn jack anymore. How to date, how to make decisions about marriage for your life, all these fundamental things, and we breathe life into these young people and teach them how to do life. At the end of the last 3 months of the program, it's a typical school year. The last 3 months, they go on a missions trip. We have various partners around the world where they go and they serve. Now, a lot of people do these mission trips, short-term mission trips. It's like a week here, 7 days here, 10 days there. And it's great that they do that seriously. And even those can be life-changing for kids. But let's be honest, it's more a vacation than a missions trip. 7 days? Are you kidding? They're just having fun flying around and seeing stuff and la, la, la. They come home. It was wonderful. I'm sure it was wonderful. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking 3 months. You're there. You're living with people. You start finding out that the whole world doesn't have Wi-Fi. Anyway, it's a great experience. The Bible says, put first the kingdom of God. Let's teach our kids that. It'll make a huge difference. Transition1.org. The music of the Reverend Jimmy Bratcher. Check out his music at jimmybratcher.com. Check your blues at the door on this Blue Monday.
I'm going to have to do some investigating on that.
Oh, it's just
I'm curious.
Some company made it up, probably for cards, you know, to send out. Some.
Oh, they sell greeting cards?
Oh, yeah, not to be depressed or some comical thing.
Oh, my goodness.
Anyway.
Okay. Gotcha.
Although, you got to admit, if there is a time to have a Blue Monday, it's either in the dead of winter, like we have here, or on tax day.
Yeah. Isn't there a song, Blue Monday?
I don't know.
Like Fats Domino or something like that?
I don't know.
I think that there is.
All right.
Okay. First email today says, I'm a huge proponent of marriages between young people, and I know that you are as well. However, I'm not sure if it's okay for such a young couple to live with the boy's or the girl's parents in the beginning of their marriage, or they shouldn't marry unless they've got their own place. What's your take on that?
I don't care. Whatever it takes, you know. You know, some people, they can't imagine a situation like that because, quite frankly, they don't get along very well with their own relatives. Mm-hmm. There are people in the world who actually enjoy their families, mm-hmm. quite frankly.
Yeah.
I'm serious.
Oh, I know.
And we live in a culture where people don't really like family much, and everybody's so stinking selfish, and they're in so And I hear of parents that charge their kids rent.
Yes.
Seriously.
Yes.
The kids was trying to get started. You're charging them rent.
Well, they think they're doing it right because you have to be grown up and mature and stand on your own. And if you can't do that, then, you know, trying to teach them.
Do what you ever want. I'm saying, really, you're a jerk. I think they're being a jerk.
I think
so, too.
Who
would charge your own kids rent? Good Lord.
It depends on why they're there.
I don't care why. If they're there because they're struggling or they don't have much money.
If they're there because they refuse to get a job and are sitting around eating Oreos and playing video games all day.
Now, if you want to, that's true. If you want to help them, you're right. There's so many exceptions to this rule. So I'm assuming a normal, sane person.
Yes.
You know, want to help them kick in towards, you know, a little extra utilities. But look, to keep a house at 70 degrees is still going to cost you if there's 10 people in the house or if there's one. it doesn't change that. Yeah. The food, I suppose, you can get them to kick. Maybe the hot water bill, mm-hmm. but I mean, it's like we're talking minor amounts of money. How cheap can you be? But to actually wind up profiting from your own children starting out.
Well, if you're trying to help them get on their feet or they're in a bad place or something like
whatever.
That, need your help.
But that wasn't the question. The question wasn't about charging your kids. That's just
that was a sidebar.
That was a side thing that just irritated the snot out of me. I have absolutely no problem with it, you know. Our kids both at one time lived with us. I loved every second of it.
I would love for my married children to live with me.
Because
I would.
We like our family. We like our kids. At some point it would get irritating to somebody. It wouldn't to me. Yeah. I would love it to fill in.
It would probably be more irritating to them.
Were there every day? Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah. It would be more irritating to my married children to live with me for them than it would
right.
be. I
well,
would
then,
love it. My
well,
grandkids
then,
would be there. I'd love
well,
it.
Well, then that's their motivation to get
right.
out, okay? You want to be on your own so you run around the house naked and notice, okay, then fine. Yeah. But my dream gig would be to have a house and right next door. My
have
kids'
the other
houses,
house and the other house.
So that every day we'd see everybody.
He's going to build a compound.
It would be like our own little cult. It would be awesome.
We're up for it. That's how Kirstie grew up with her parents or her grandparents.
I would love that.
I would absolutely love that. And in fact, if all of you would go on right now and buy 25 copies of my book, this would make this
would
possible for
happen.
Me.
Support the dream, everyone.
Support the dream. Go buy my stuff so I can have my dream. So anyway, I don't know what the big deal is. I think it's fabulous, and why not help them, encourage them to say, no, you can't get married unless you have your own stuff. Okay, so what's the alternative, Mom? You want them fornicating, having sex in the backseat of the car, she gets pregnant, now they're not married, or whatever. You know, I don't know. It's just they're in love. They want to get together. Let them get married. If they need to move in with you, fabulous. Unless, of course, see, there's not normal people.
Yeah.
There are people who are just, they don't.
Dysfunctional.
They don't know how to get along with people. But I will say this, that the kids who have parents like that, they will be highly motivated to get their own place.
Yeah, that's true.
So I don't know. If you have emails, I don't want to hear them. I don't care.
Don't care.
I'm assuming normal, sane people who like each other.
Yeah.
Who like their families.
Yes.
If you have, and there's a lot of people.
If you can't stand your kids.
If you can't stand your own kids.
Or if you can't stand your parents, then this is a really bad idea for you.
You don't like the person they're marrying, and you can't stand because there's extra kids in the house, and you're a grumpy old man who's a big fat jerk, even though you're the pastor of your own church.
Excuse me?
No, I'm saying, you know, they claim to be so spiritual, but these people are just jerks.
Oh, yeah.
You know, then that's your own issue, so. All right. Let's take a break.
Start a GoFundMe campaign, for this Gunger compound.
That's what we need, a GoFundMe.
Did you see that GoFundMe, the lady that spent all of their money on the lottery when that lottery just got so huge?
They spent all of it.
They blew everything trying to win the lottery. And then she set up a GoFundMe page. And if you just donate $1, they will help us get back on our feet. To the point that I read the article, over 800 people had donated $1. She hit to her GoFundMe. And then GoFundMe finally pulled it.
Idiots. Uh-huh. Honestly. Anyway, I did not buy a single lottery ticket of a gazillion. I don't condemn people who did.
That's why you didn't win.
That's why.
You can't win if you don't play.
That's why I didn't win. $1.5 billion. That's why. I was wondering why. Although I must admit, I was hoping someone in my church would... One of those idiots who bought the tickets would win. That would have been fabulous because a little donation from that would have been wonderful. All right, we'll take a break and be back with more emails right after this.
Attend Mark's Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage event. Visit laughyourway.com for upcoming dates and locations.
Down to the river where muddy water flows. We're back on the Mark Gunger Show, talking about love, marriage, and relationships, and lottery tickets.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I refer to someone who buys a lottery ticket as an idiot, that's a term of endearment.
Endearment.
But they are being idiotic. The reason they had $1.5 billion is because that many people went out spending money.
Oh, yeah. A lot of people spend a lot of money.
No, I'm not going to give my money to somebody else. Why?
No.
Well, you might win. Maybe.
They always say, somebody's got to win. Could be you.
Yeah. Of course, you all gave them that money.
Yeah.
It's not like it was magic. came from a magic pot.
Well, and it went from a high level to that extremely high level so quickly, so many people because going people went psycho thinking, it's so high, I want it, and then it bumped it up way
high. Which I think is always funny, because it's like, you know, $200 million,
that's not enough for me to buy a ticket.
It's not worth the hassle.
But they say that's when you have the better chance of winning, that when the higher it goes, the odds are so against you that...
I know.
May the odds ever be in your favor.
Yes.
So ignorant. All right.
Okay, the next email, he writes, I write to you because I'm very concerned for my brother and his family. He got married 3 years ago. They had their first baby 5 months ago. His wife cooks and cleans for him and has supported him always. I found out a couple of months ago he is involved with another woman. I talked to him about it and he accepted recommendation.
Who is this saying this story?
This is his brother.
His brother's talking about his brother, mm-hmm. who's a slime bag.
Yes.
All right,
mm-hmm,
okay.
Mm-hmm. He accepted a recommendation for a Christian counselor. They went and he liked it, but he's still involved with this lady. He and his wife are Catholic, but they don't go to church. Is there something I can do? It breaks my heart to see his marriage fall apart. I asked her, asked him, does his wife know? Does the wife know? And the answer was, she doesn't know, and she told me she doesn't want to know.
The wife doesn't want to know if he's cheating on her.
Apparently. So now the brother wants to know what he can do to help his brother.
No, dude, there's no cure for crazy. I wish there was. If there was something you could do, I promise you the Bible would have told us. What it does is warn people about doing such a thing. It says it's a stairway to hell. You know, in terms of the grief and misery that's going to come in your life, you know.
And she doesn't want to know. Let him do whatever.
I mean, how dysfunctional is that? I mean, how many women would say, if my husband.
Don't tell me I don't want to know.
Having sex with somebody else, I don't want to know. Really?
No, I'd want to know. Oh, yes, I'd want to know.
I'm pretty sure I'd like to be one of the first to know. Yes. So there's nothing. What are you going to do? There's nothing you can do.
Take some big guys over to his house and pound him up.
Yeah. I mean, you can warn him, but they're not likely to listen. Pray for him. At some point, it'll all come crashing in on him, and he'll pay a big price for it. And you're there, and you help put him back together. Welcome to our world.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking about this in church on Sunday, you know, trying to warn people to do the right thing, to live their lives the right way. But many do not listen. And if you break into 1,000 pieces, then we'll be there for you. You know, we'll be all the king's horsemen and all the king's men that put Humpty Dumpty back together again. And that's the reality of the church. We should never let people know, man, if you mess up, you can't come back here. No way, absolutely. Mm-hmm. If you mess up, because people mess up, we will absolutely do everything we can to help put back your life. But it's complicated, and you're going to look like a cracked egg. Even when all the eggs pieces are put back together.
And you glue it all back together. You can still see the cracks and where you put the rubber cement in.
You're still going to look a little cracked, you know. But, hey, better than staying in pieces. So, anyway, it is what it is. What else you got?
Nothing you can do. Okay, speaking of cracked.
Yes.
I don't know if it's a man or a woman writing, but they want to know what is...
Maybe it's a he-she.
No, I don't think so.
Bruce Jenner!
You know how sometimes you can't tell by the name?
Oh, yeah.
Anyway,
yeah, okay.
What is funny marital advice you would give during the wedding to a couple who are getting married both for the second time?
Run! Run! Save yourselves! Funny marital advice?
So that's what the question says.
I think that's pretty funny.
It would be funny. That would be hilarious, actually. I don't think that they would take too kindly to that during the ceremony.
I don't know. I think it'd be
actually, the weddings that you do, you are pretty funny with the way that you perform.
I'm a funny guy.
Yeah.
It's what I do.
Like the who.
But I'm a professional.
He who marries has
don't
trouble.
Don't attempt this at home.
Your weddings are actually funny, first marriage or second or 50th.
Just be lighthearted, period.
Yeah.
I wouldn't refer to the second one. That'd kind of a downer, wouldn't you think?
Just keep saying again when you're talking.
Again.
Here we are again.
Again. Here we are again.
Are you ready to make this vow again?
Do you take this one again?
I don't think that would be very funny. Would that be hilarious? Or what would really be funny is keep using the other spouse's, the ex's names.
Oh,
I'm sorry. That was the first one.
Oh, my gosh. You could, it would be hilarious. It would, not to them, but it would be hilarious.
Really, for those sickos of us who have to do this, it would be very funny. And we'd be laughing later, hysterically, tears running down our faces.
Again.
This guy's going to write a letter back.
Again.
I tried some of those things you said to be funny.
And I got some lawsuits against me.
Again. For better, for worse.
Yeah.
Again?
I know this is going to sound a bit, and I don't mean this in a weird way or arrogant way, but my advice is if you have to try to be funny, you shouldn't do it. I'm serious.
Yes. If you're asking, how can I be funny?
Yeah. Don't. It's almost always a bad idea. It's almost always a disaster. You are either by nature a funny person. Yeah. Or you're not.
If you try, usually it falls flat.
And there's a difference between being funny with your friends and being funny in public.
Oh, yeah.
And it's really true. Yeah. So, my sincere, heartfelt advice, if you're writing me how to be funny at a wedding, don't do it. Just keep your mouth shut. We'll be back.
Caution. The Mark Gunger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience.
So complicated.
It's all so complicated, but we're here to uncomplicate the complicated. You like my new shirt?
Mm-hmm.
I'm very purpley.
Mm-hmm. Have we had this discussion already?
Oh, beautiful.
Or was that off the air?
He jumps into that so quickly.
Yeah.
He's got like pre-programmed in his head. He knows what he's supposed to say.
Yeah.
But while he's saying and he's looking at himself,
going,
thinking,
"Ooh, aren't I pretty? That's so pretty."
It's like, as soon as he gets done, he can just jump right into.
Yeah.
It's like narcissist who stared at himself in the...
Welcome back to the Mark Gunger Show.
Man,
this shirt looks really nice.
Look at that.
I'm really good looking.
So fabulous.
This is his inner monologue that's going on.
At all times.
I know. All he's thinking about is how wonderful
there
he
are
is.
Several conversations going on in my head at any given time.
And how pretty you are is always one of them.
It's all about managing the voices.
Oh my gosh, you're psycho. You are psycho. Seriously, are you sitting up straight? Because when they...
What? She says I look like a crooked old man.
There. Now that's weird.
Hello? Okay, I'm in a casket now.
No, you do. You do.
He looks so lifelike.
Poor Marky's dead.
Poor Mark is dead. What I want like someone to animate on me when I die. Mm-mm. So that during the funeral, at some point, I just sit up.
It's just so weird.
All right.
Okay. Anyway, you just
I don't know what we're talking about.
Like
this is our
flag page.
This is our flag page segment. We have a wonderful program that helps people to understand themselves and each other called the Flag Page. Go to flagpage.com. Take this test. All you slackers need to take this test because it will be very, very helpful for you. It helps you to connect, understand who you are and how to connect with people. Did I just repeat myself 5 times?
Probably. It's those voices in your head.
It's all these voices. I can't keep them all straight.
I don't know, because I wasn't listening. I was trying to see, what do I see?
You're looking at a picture going,
you don't
I look so
like,
pretty.
You know what it is? Pull the back of your jacket down. You got this hunchback thing going on.
You look like Pocahontas in that sweater. And it doesn't
it's not
she?
A sweater.
It's
a shirt.
It looks like it's
Why
leather.
Why would you be offended by Pocahontas?
I'm not. I'm just saying
You sounded like
you sounded
somewhere.
Offended. Look, he's got kind of a leather thing on his deal, and you got a matching
this
leather here.
This is like that moleskin thing business.
And then you got the Pocahontas.
This is what they'd refer to as a woodman's sweater.
Is it?
I don't have
That's
any
what it said
leather.
In the description.
I just have a purple shirt.
Pocahontas.
Now I feel bad.
I'm not a woodsman.
I should have worn feathers.
And you're not Indian.
No, I'm not. I have none of that in me.
Apparently I'm black. Did I tell you the story yet?
I don't know if you discussed this on the air because I think you got those
You've
results.
You told everyone else.
Yeah, I think we haven't taped shows since you got that.
We'll come back to that. Okay,
go ahead. Okay, here's the email that goes with your flag
pages.
Yes,
okay, here's it. Now go.
She says, my issue is with my husband married less than a year.
Okay.
They did the flag pages. You have them. Our problem is that whenever I ask him to do something or do something differently, he gets very, in capital letters, upset and depressed and thinks I'm criticizing him. Basically, I feel that I can't ask him to do anything, capital letters, without him getting upset and thinking I'm criticizing, controlling, or changing him. An example is when he shaves in the sink, he does not clean out the sink afterwards, and there's a lot of those little hairs, which is really gross. I asked him if he would please wipe down the sink after he shaves, and he got very upset and went into another room.
Okay.
This involves pretty much anything domestic, and it also goes into other areas. When he wants to initiate intimacy lately, he often pokes me or grabs me playfully and calls my parts weird names. I have told him I don't want to be poked and I would rather have some romance or effort put on his part.
Oh my God.
He got very upset with this, however, and I told him, I am just trying to tell him what I like and what puts me in the mood. Am I too hard and is he too soft, or am I being too sensitive and is this really isn't a problem?
The voices in my head are hilarious. All right, I'm having my own show going
you,
on in
you
here.
Are.
And I'm trying to keep this as family friendly as
oh,
possible.
Please do.
So
please do.
Okay, so on the flag page, get a picture of my over here. All right, so on this test, it kind of it gives you a real simple picture of what motivates you. It talks about, it shows you your temperament. This thing about soft and hard that she referenced to, the thing that really motivates you. But she's speaking specifically about the soft and hard. Here's the thing. People either tend to be overwhelmingly soft-natured. Her husband is more soft-natured, a difference of 14 more. Whereas hers tends a little bit more hard-natured. But the reality is on their test, there's very little difference. We tend to look for 15 or more. Well, she only got 10 difference. He's only got 14 difference. Yep. So she's wanting to know, gee, I'm a little bit too hard. And hard people tend to be very black and white, to the point, you know, and can seem rather abrasive and stuff like that. Soft people are real warm and fuzzy. Put me back on the screen because I'm beautiful. But
of course you are.
Soft people can be real warm and fuzzy and stuff. And soft people tend to take offense much more easily than hard-natured people. Hard-natured people are almost impervious to offense, mm-hmm. which is really is a great advantage to them. And this kind of can change over your life depending on your experiences. I used to be very soft-hearted, and very soft people tend to overreact and get real upset and feel real offended by things. And dealing with life and trying to pastor, I've balanced it out considerably. I dare say I'm more soft-natured now because the only way to survive this job is you just can't possibly care too much, all right?
Really?
Yes.
Because when I started working for you,
yes.
I had 100 gaps to the soft.
So you were really soft.
And you know what it is now?
What is it?
Zero. It's because of you.
Oh, I know, because your life will change. Not a lot will change on a test like this.
But that
for some reason, can change just based on people's experiences. Mm-hmm. And there's people who are more hard-natured, and they're just very black and white. They don't get offended. They know what's right. There's what's wrong. They don't really. So
I've softened.
You have.
He used to be like Mussolini. He was
really?
Like a brick wall. Yeah. And it's just life. I guess one could argue ideally at some point you'd balance, but who knows? It doesn't really matter. It really doesn't matter. Why do I care? Anyway, the point being...
Squirrel.
What she's saying is she sees a little bit of hard, and his is slightly a little bit soft.
Yeah.
The way she describes it is in their personal interaction with each other, that might be getting amplified. And I guess that's possible.
It could be.
Because generally speaking, I would say to her, no, that's not what's going on with you guys. But it might be. In the close relationship, she's being very black and white with him about stuff. And he's softer and, you know, da-da-da-da. But here's the thing. What you described here, I wouldn't, you know. So what do you care if he gets upset? If he's a pig, if he's shaving and there's like scuzzy things all over the sink, hey, wipe the sink. He gets upset. So what? So what? I mean, at some point you say, you know, I would just keep revisiting it until he toughens up a bit. He doesn't care anymore. What's her alternative? She's going to leave the sink and she's going to go around clean up everything he says because she's afraid he's going to get upset. Sometimes
she could try sitting him down and if he likes lots of words to... In lots of words, explain why it's so awful that she has to clean up his...
I guess one of the things that she has here...
She has perfect.
She's got more of a higher perfect score. His is his lowest thing.
And she has idealistic in her flag. So it's always
she might be,
to be...
Well, here's the thing. She might really be downplaying her input in this. So that's a good point. Because if you look at her perfect and idealistic, when she's saying, well, I just merely explain... It might be coming off a lot harsher than that.
Yeah.
It needs to be this way, and it has to be this way, and you can't approach stuff this way. And I promise you, again, I don't have a problem with the beard thing. I think if you're going to be a pig, you shouldn't have to go to a grown man, I don't care what his flag is, and emotionally work through his issue. I will say that she's probably softening her, because that's what everybody does. They always make themselves look in the best light.
Yes.
Based on your flag page, your propensity to be more hard-natured and more of a perfectionist and idealist is coming across a bit harsh to him, and that's what's setting him off because he is, if you look at his flag, very much the opposite, and opposites always tend to attract. What I would say is this. There are no fewer ways to destroy the self-esteem of a man than to point out that he's not making love the right way. Which, again, I have no compassion for the guy for the beard thing. He's not being a pig, all right? So I don't even care about that. But when you're in bed and he's grabbing your part saying, "Hey, Larry," I don't know, whatever he's calling. I guess Larry would be creepy. I don't know what name is he calling these things?
I don't know.
I think it's hilarious.
But the thing is, if it's totally shutting her down and turning her off, well, that's not a good thing.
Okay. But now this is where I would go what Phil was talking about. You have more of a soft-natured man.
Yeah.
They need lots of words.
Yes.
And you need to try and explain to him. And don't be just a, you know, again, who knows how she's approaching this.
And tell him what you want and word it in a positive way instead of don't do that. Don't tell him what you do
want. In a nutshell, the simplest thing, what Phil said here, your key to succeeding with, anybody has a key to succeeding with a soft-natured person, when you take the test and you see it, words, lots of words. Explain to him what you like, why you like it, why it's important, how he can do it. Now, to a woman who's more of a perfectionist and a bit more hard-natured, they don't like that.
Yeah.
The thing about hard-natured people, they speak in bullet points. Yeah. They're very, this.
Yeah.
And I understand
that. Usually in the negative. Don't do that.
But even if it was in the positive.
Yeah.
Okay, but you're right. It tends to be more in the negative. The reality is, if you're setting him off wrong, again, I don't care about the beard. He's being a pig. You can slap him for all I care about that. But, you know, something as intimate as your sex life, I would say, hey, don't do this, do that. Why don't you push that? Why don't you? You know, you need lots of words to kind of communicate to him what you need. And thank you for the email. It was highly entertaining.
Highly entertaining.
He's calling them twin gazelles.
It's very biblical.
Scripture.
That's right.
Jesus quoting scripture.
Hey,
come on.
Hey, where's that other gazelle?
Oh.
Gazelle one, gazelle two. I think it's hilarious. Anyway, lots of words to your hubby. Lots of words to explain the why, and she won't want to explain the why. Again, some things you don't need to explain the why, like he's being a pig with hair all over the place.
Well, and don't try to correct everything, because she's saying he thinks that she's correcting everything. And she
probably
is.
That's what you don't understand, sweetheart. When you're a perfect nature, more perfect nature, she has a secondary nature, but more perfect nature than he is, idealistic and hard nature, you are going to come across
as correcting, criticizing, and controlling everything.
And you got to be careful.
So his A-box was witty.
Yeah.
So the thing she does in the emails talk about the stupid names that he comes up with.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You're being witty, which is stupid.
Yeah. And you don't want to do that. You want to insult his approach to humor. Oh, that's why you should leave humor to the professionals. Yes.
Well, he has great sense of humor, good on stage, witty, and life of the party.
I know. So he's goofing around all the time.
It's just a total, you know, stage platform for him to be silly, I'm sure.
That's great. So anyway, it's a great way. Great to go online. All y'all, listen to me. Go online. You listen to this program. Go online. Flagpage.com. Take this test and the simple one-page printout. You'll start to look at it and see why you're struggling the way that you're struggling. And what you definitely don't want to do is criticize something you see in the other person's flag. In this case, his smart aleck, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
You got criticizing it. You're going to have a difficult time with him. So anyway, it is what it is. You married him.
Mm-hmm.
And we salute the gazelles everywhere.
We could create a discount code called gazelles.
Gazelles. Long live the gazelles.
Y'all, right?
We'll be back with more right after this break.
Want more of Mark? Visit markgunger.com. There you will find everything that Mark has to offer.
When the blues come, especially on Blue Monday. Anyway, what do you got?
Okay, finance question.
Money.
I think it's a girl writing. She says, my future hubby and I.
I don't know. Hard to tell nowadays.
I was looking only at the name.
You don't know.
Susan, and she's talking about her husband.
My future hubby, sorry. I was listening to the voices in my head.
They're so confusing.
Anyway, they're looking for property for when they get married, and they've been receiving some confusing advice on the topic, she says. We routinely listen to your show, know that we shouldn't buy what we cannot afford, which we both agree with, but as we are young and first-time buyers, I was wondering whether you would recommend to rent initially and then buy an apartment or then buy a home. You know what I'm trying to say? I think her sentence is backwards.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because we don't even know.
Actually, it's not easy.
She wants to know if she should rent or buy initially.
Rent or buy. What do you think, Phil? Rent or buy.
Initially?
Initially.
If you don't have the money, then you should probably rent.
You put your hat on.
It's cold in here.
No.
It is freezing.
Says the man with a sweater and a shirt and a jacket and a shirt, and I just have a shirt on.
You got the Pocahontas thing. That's why. They're right.
And the hot flash just won't kick in when I need it.
Where are they when you need them?
Really?
Right?
Where is that? Where are those hot flashes,
Diane? When I need them.
That's what we need. She's supposed to. You know, she warms up the room.
I know.
Yeah. She comes in. She just.
There's no heat radiating today.
How cold is it outside in Green Bay today?
It was six below.
6 below 0. Yeah, that tends to make the basement a little nippy. It's like, holy cow. Anyway, all right, what do we got?
Okay, rent or buy?
Oh, rent or buy. That's right. That's a
great gosh, you're a psycho today.
I would recommend, if you're just starting out, to rent. And what people are saying is, oh, rent is throwing money away and better to put it. But here's the problem. When you don't have any money in the beginning, to get a house usually will cost you more than renting initially. Yes. Renting, you can find a hole in the wall somewhere for $500 a month. Yeah. Some of those including utilities and stuff. And just take your time. Take your time to build your life. Everybody's in such a hurry to get all this stuff. I get the argument, gee, you know, you're throwing money away and stuff like that. But when you don't have much money, you just deal with what it is. You've got plenty of time to do your life. You're young. At some point, yes, it becomes smarter to own your own property. Although I gotta say... that
there's a lot that goes with owning a home.
I personally invested into my house in 2007.
Yeah, where are you at now?
And I, by the end of that year, I had lost about $30,000.
Upside down.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So that wisdom that she's saying, everybody's saying, I was just going to say, it's not nearly as strong as everybody says. No. I got to tell you, I don't know that I've ever made money with a stupid house. By the time you're done, and the fees and the this, and especially if you're, you know, paying all the house while you're in the new house and all the money that's going, the most money I ever made, and I'm not kidding, when it comes to real estate, is when I sold a mobile home. We lived in a mobile home. Everybody think one thing, don't buy a mobile home, that's a complete waste of money. When I sold the mobile home, I actually walked away with cash in my hand over what I owed. So I don't know. The general wisdom is you buy your own home, but you got to think long term. That's the other problem. People don't think long term with their homes. They want to flip them and change stuff real quick. And in this economy, it's not automatic money at this point. I would just say, what can you afford? If you can afford to get a home, I guess I can see, depending on the economy, but like you could be like Phil or a lot of us. Man, I spent X amount of dollars on my home and it lost... Mm-hmm. What, $50,000-$60,000?
Doesn't Dave Ramsey recommend against buying houses? Isn't he a pro-renter? Well, I thought I had heard something.
I don't know.
My guess is that he would be, it's more important to invest in financially living with your budget and saving money. That's better to invest in that than to jump into a house
and invest
and have
in
your
the home.
Budget screwed up, mm-hmm. not be saving money anymore, and all that stuff. It's not worth it to throw off your financial plan, if you will.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. House. I mean, so I guess the more we talk, the more I'd lean just flat out renting. You should invest. They say, well, invest in a home. Well, that's not a slam dunk investment anymore. No, and you got to think extremely long term. And at this point, the only thing you could afford is a little tiny broken down shack, which you won't want to stay in 10 years anyway. So I would rent, invest, like Phil says, invest in your life and save money and make you the investment. And don't depend on real estate pulling out your investment, because at this point, that's just not a sure shot anymore. A lot of people, including some of us around the table, that hasn't proven to be a good investment at all. So it is what it is. And that's end of that. What do we got next?
Dating.
I love dating questions. We'll come back with your dating questions right after this break.
Have a marriage dilemma? Email your questions to ask@markgunger.com, and Mark can answer them during one of our shows.
Steam milk, lots of frog, mix a mustache and a
want to lick it off.
One thing's for certain, this much I know. It's always brewing and it's not your average Joe.
The music of Michael O'Brien. Check out his music at michaelo.org. Org. I haven't talked to him in a while. Mm-hmm. I'll text every once in a while. He's hilarious. Great musician. Brilliant. All right. What do you got for dating questions?
Okay. She says, I'm 29, met a man 30 at church. He asked me out the next day. I said yes because he's gorgeous and fascinating. We talked every day for hours. It must be you.
Gorgeous and fascinating. That's what my wife said as soon as she saw me. In fact, all the women I meet think I'm gorgeous and fascinating.
Yes, but he was so gorgeous and fascinating.
I know. Okay. So they spent all this time talking. He admits to liking her. You know, they've kissed. They've spent a lot of time together over several weeks, blah, blah, blah. They think it's a perfect match. All this, that, and the other. Now, after spending all this time together, he tells me that he wants to fast and pray to decide if this is a relationship he should pursue because he doesn't want to waste my time or his. But he hasn't given me a timeline for this, and he's still wanting to see me every day. He's obviously into me, but still keeps giving me this, I need to fast before we become official. Is he crazy? Is he over-spiritualizing? Is he wasting my time?
I would say yes, yes, and yes. I think he's crazy. He's over-spiritualizing it. He's wasting your time. That's what I think. Have a little self-respect. Someone tells me, you know, I really want to be with you, but I need to fast. But he just comes spending time with me every day. So I quit spending time with him. Hey, can we get together now? Have you fasted yet?
No, go fast.
Go fast.
Go fast. Go pray.
Tell him I'm going to fast you.
I'm going to fast you.
Until you're finished fasting.
Until you're done fasting.
Right.
Have a little self-respect. This guy's jerking you around. What is it with these women?
Well, what is it with this guy? He's done all of this and made out with her and taken her to see his family and blah,
blah,
blah.
Where is the self-respect? People have no self. These single people have no self-respect. I don't know what. I guess because they're desperate to get married.
Well, at 29, she might be.
Golly, somebody jerking you around. You let him do this to you? That's on you. It's not on him.
But he's gorgeous and fabulous and fascinating.
Look, some of us are gorgeous and fascinating. We can't help that. It's just a natural thing.
It's my cross to bear.
It's my cross to bear. But you, somebody's jerking you around. And how long has this been going on?
Several weeks, she said.
All right, so that's nothing. But I mean, a lot of times these girls put up stuff for like 5 years.
No.
Jerking them around. Seriously? Don't you have any self-respect? You don't let people do this to you. Now, if it's a few weeks, I wouldn't overreact a little bit to this. But I would say to him, if he says, well, I need to fast and pray if I want to.
But maybe that's what their pastor told him or something. Maybe he's getting that advice.
I think he's over-spiritualizing. He's an over-spiritualizing nutcase. Gorgeous notwithstanding. And maybe it's because his pastor told him. I don't know. It's not about fasting. You need to make a decision. Everybody's waiting for God to tell them.
I know.
This isn't a God thing. This is a you thing. All you single people, you wait for God to tell you. You keep doing this, and here's what irritates me. All these people wait for God to tell them, then they want to get divorced 2 years later.
God was mixed up.
Well, what happened to God?
But what would probably help her is if she puts on the brakes, I think all of a sudden God's going to start speaking to him very quickly.
I would tell him to stop it. I would tell him, look, you don't need to fast and pray. This isn't a God thing. You need to make a decision. Now, you want to pray for wisdom, that's fine. But then do it and let me know if you're interested. I'd quit seeing him.
Is he just going to be goofy about everything in life like this, though? I think I'd run.
Gorgeous notwithstanding.
I did something a little stupid like that. So.
Well, we're running out of time.
Too bad.
So you're stupid for waiting so long to bring it up.
We get over it.
We'll see you. Bye.
Bye, boys.
Have fun storming the castle.